This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Liz Chatterton, the president of the Chatterton Group, joins me on the program. Now, you got to love it when Jon Stewart on The Daily Show makes fun of you. I mean, that's a badge of honor, is it not?
Well, you know, Coy, thanks. I haven't heard that in about 20, 30 minutes. So it's always fun to hear it. You know, it's always interesting when you get made fun of on a show like The Daily Show. I had quite a few people tell me I had made it and become a big star, and quite a few people ask me how it felt to be humiliated on national television. So I think it depends on your perspective.
Well, what's funny is he's only making fun of your name and not your work. So just to point that out.
Well, we can only hope.
Liz Chatterton, of course, with the Chatterton Group, is always on the, you know, Fox News and Headline News, a national political consultant, helps to run campaigns and advise campaigns around the country. We're honored to have her on the program. So, Liz, what are you hearing from around the country? The news isn't good for Democrats. The Cook Political Report just readjusted their predictions for the House and it gave even more seats, likely seats, to Republicans come November.
Yeah, you know, I haven't seen the Cook Report yet, but I'm not surprised. Things are definitely interesting this year. It's a very different election cycle for Democrats than we've seen in either 06 or 08. It's not clear yet whether we've returned to 1994, as you and some of your listeners may remember, when Democrats lost control of both houses, the House and the Senate. And I'm not sure we're there, but we're definitely not in a pro-Democrat cycle. That's for darn sure.
We're talking with Liz Chatterton of the Chatterton Group. So what is the strategy then for Democrats, given the challenges coming from the White House and the popularity of President Obama is sliding? How do you advise Democrats now? What should be the strategy this year?
Well, it's interesting. In some ways, it's the same strategy that we've had all along, which is local, 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 local. You know, everyone hates Congress but loves their congressman. So we've really advised, or I have certainly advised, all of my candidates to run races that are about local issues and featuring local folks. You know, one of the things that I do, obviously, is direct mail, so I take a lot of photographs. And this year we're putting a real heavy emphasis on what we call third-party validators. So people from within the district, people who live locally, and particularly iconic leaders, nurses, firemen, police officers, veterans, if they're no longer active duty, to come out and speak on behalf of our incumbents, because unfortunately our incumbents are just not being taken at their word right now. And I think that's really true of Democrat and Republican incumbents, frankly. I think the country is really mad at all politicians. There just happen to be more Democrat politicians out there right now. And for that reason, these validators is one of our biggest strengths. So when a soldier who has just recently, you know, returned from war and is no longer active duty but speaks about a congressman or a state legislator, that carries a lot more weight than if that congressperson was speaking for themselves. So that's one of the things that we're trying to do this year, to remind people that we really are the good guys.
It's interesting because that's a return to the original politics of America, when candidates would not get out on the stump. You know, Jefferson didn't travel around and make speeches when he was running for president. It was all done by surrogates and third parties who would go out and make speeches and tell people, this is why you should support my friend Thomas Jefferson.
Interesting. You know, Coy, you're so much smarter than I am. And no, you are, and you know so much more about history that I didn't know that, and that's fascinating. It doesn't surprise me. I think there are times when people want to hear from their leaders and their president. Certainly after 9/11, we wanted to hear from President Bush. There are times when we absolutely want to see them front and center. And then I think there are times, for instance, right now, where we really don't want to know anything about them,
right.
Where we're so disappointed in where the country is right now that the last people we want to talk to are our leaders. And in fact, we're really looking to make a change, if you will. You know, it's interesting, that word has become so poisoned this year. You know, just 2 years ago, it was change you can believe in, and this year no one's talking about change. What's fascinating, though, is that it's still a change election, and that's something that political consultants are sort of marveling at, is that we associated change with Obama. It wasn't so much that Obama was change, it was that change was there, and Obama really took hold of that message. He understood that's what people were looking for, and he fed into it. The truth is the American electorate is still looking for change, and that's what's fascinating.
Yeah, and even more fascinating that they've always been looking for change. I mean, I guess you could make that argument that really that idea of change and we're not on the right track, I mean, that is the perennial perennial story of the American electorate. We're never really satisfied. We're always sort of dissatisfied with politics in Washington. I mean, and you know, again, to return to Jefferson, that was one of the things he ran on in 1800 was, I know you're not happy with what's going on in national government, and I'm going to go fix that.
Right. Absolutely. In fact, in some ways, it's a hallmark of being an American that we constantly question our government and strive for it to be better and to do more and to do more efficiently and to do more with fewer resources. And we, it seems as a nation, have never really been at rest from that. Some years we like our leaders and our government a little better than we do in others, but in general we're never satisfied, which is really in some ways a good thing. It means our government continuously evolves. And that's a good thing, too. You know, I'll tell you something interesting, though, on a slightly separate note. I have a friend who is Pakistani, and he is an American citizen, but he has family back in Pakistan, and he actually lives or is from one of the really flood-ravaged areas. And he has been talking to me a lot lately about how disenchanted he is because the president of Pakistan has not been in the country. He's been on vacation during these devastating floods. And my friend said to me, my God, what would Americans do if the president was on vacation during this kind of natural disaster? And I thought, well, we throw him out of office.
Yeah.
And we can look back on, I mean, certainly President Bush was chastised for not recognizing Katrina after only 3 days. And look at what's happening in Pakistan. So, again, my point is that Americans really expect quite a bit from their leaders and from their government. And when we don't get it and get it fast, we're pretty darn angry about it.
We're talking with Liz Chatterton. The website is chattertongroup.com, a national political consultant and a frequent guest on CNN and MSNBC and Fox News. We're honored to have her on the program. So is the economy the big issue now that you're seeing in these congressional campaigns and around the country, or is it still the war, or what is it?
Well, it's most definitely not the war. It's interesting how what a difference 6 years makes, or certainly 8 years make. With all due respect to our servicemen and women, who actually are very valued, I will tell you that how we take care of our veterans and our returning soldiers is an incredibly important issue. But the war itself is not really garnering a lot of passion, if you will, at the ballot box. It is the economy, but even more than the economy, it is spending. And in some ways, the two are intertwined, for darn sure. But it has a lot to do, I think a lot of the anger in general has a lot to do with this idea that we bailed out the banks, we bailed out Wall Street, we bailed out GM, we bailed out AIG, and then we went and did, you know, billions of dollars in stimulus funding, and then we went and did a health care overhaul that a lot of people don't understand, and I think Americans feel like that, you know, we must be tapped out by now, right? I mean, because we've spent so much money, not to mention what have we been spending it on. So while in one hand a lot of that money went to creating jobs through the stimulus, saving jobs through bailing out GM, and preventing, they say, a larger economic catastrophe through the bailouts, it's hard for people to see that. And so you've got one side arguing that the economy is getting better and that what we did was good for the economy, and the other side arguing that the economy is not getting better and now we're broke. So it is the economy, but it's economy and spending more than anything else right now.
We're talking with Liz Chatterton of the Chatterton Group. And, of course, all the war spending is off the books, isn't it?
Well, and isn't that interesting? No one's talking about the war spending. During the Bush administration, more of it was off the books than is now. I'm going to be the first to admit I'm not an expert at that. But I think more of it is currently on the books. Frankly, it's a huge part of why our deficit is so huge, is that we've started putting the war spending on the books. It was something that both the Democratic Congress in 06 and then President Obama, when he was elected in 08, something he said he would do, and then what happened? Well, we have record deficits. So we are definitely spending a lot of money as a nation right now. But then there are economists who say that that's what we should be doing, that we have a lot of money, and that if we spend this money, our economy will come back. I'm not an economist. It's hard to know, but I am a political consultant, and I will tell you that the country is not in a mood to spend any more money right now.
Yeah, and I think most people are smart enough to realize that we actually don't have that money, that we're borrowing it from China. And they're buying our bonds, and as long as they're buying our bonds, we're okay, and we can fund this war and all of these things we want to do. But the minute The moment that they come to us and say, okay, we're cashing in, or we don't think you're a good risk anymore, then it's over. I mean, the party is over in a severe way.
Well, that's absolutely true. And, of course, just a couple of days ago, China overtook Japan as the world's second largest economy, which I don't know about anyone else, but I found pretty surprising in some ways that Japan was still number two. But then to really see China officially become number two behind us, I think was startling. And it is definitely a wake-up call for us as a nation. What do we do from here on out to keep ourselves number one?
We're talking with Liz Chatterton, a national political consultant. Eric is with us in Albemarle County. Eric, you're on with Liz. Thanks for the call.
Yeah,
go right ahead.
I think when Liz says that the American people don't understand the health care bill, I think she actually gets to a real issue that the Democrats currently have with what they sold to Congress was, we'll pass the bill and then we'll see what's in it. And if the American people only understood the bill, they really like it. Well, the fact is, the more people understand about the bill, the less they like it. It's gotten even less popular since they passed it. It was passed against the wishes of a huge number of Americans who now like it even less the more they hear about it. In fact, more that things start to unravel with this bill, it's just going to become an even bigger albatross around the Democrats' neck. And I want to just say this. Another thing that I think people are getting increasingly angry about is the Tea Party movement, which, by the way, started under the Bush administration as a protest against, you know, the TARP bailout. All of these bailouts, everything else, all of this has been done against the will of the majority of the American people. And there's only so long that Congress can continue to act as if the will of the American people doesn't matter before, surprise, surprise, the people throw those people out of office. This is not sort of an irrational thing. It is a rational response to an extraordinarily bad situation we find ourselves in. And the president, to his own party's probable distress, has displayed remarkable political tone deafness to all of this and just failed to take any of the real anger that the American people are expressing peacefully, I might add, with these protests, taking it seriously. And through surrogates, they have attacked the Tea Parties with what I would consider to be racial McCarthyism, smear campaigns, without taking their basic grievances about spending and an unaccountable government seriously. And I think if the Democrats continue to fail to take those concerns seriously, they will find themselves out of office rather quickly.
Eric, thank you for the call. Very well said. Liz, your thoughts?
Well, there was
a lot there.
There is a lot there. So let me see if I can remember and go back to the beginning. The health care bill, no, it is a big bill for darn sure, and I'm not even going to profess to know everything that's in it. I do know that there are some things in it, though, that are very good, that a lot of people do like, starting with the idea that insurance companies can no longer throw you out or deny you coverage based on pre-existing conditions. That actually covered about 65% of Americans, myself included, frankly. There are some other provisions in there about making sure that children have health insurance, et cetera, et cetera. But, yes, it was expensive. And, yes, it is convoluted. And, yes, I'm not going to tell you everybody's happy with it because they're not. So I think it was an important thing to do. I think 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now, we will look back on that bill and we will herald it, as we many people do, Social Security and Medicaid. But at the moment, yeah, I do think it is going to be a tough one for Democrats to campaign on and to sell for reelection in 2010. In terms of the Tea Party in general, listen, I welcome the Tea Party because I believe in democracy. So I believe everyone should have a voice, and if they want to stand up and certainly peacefully demonstrate, I welcome their conversation to the table. In terms of throwing out our leaders, that's what's great about our democracy. I couldn't agree with you more. If you don't like your leadership, throw them out. My job, of course, is to at least this year try to convince people that the leadership isn't nearly as bad as they think it is and that the alternative is worse, but that's what I do. And that doesn't mean that people are going to follow me, and they may ignore me, and they may throw them out anyway. And again, that is democracy. It's one of the great things about America. I think the end result would be this, though. It is It's a fascinating thing in a midterm election right after a new president, particularly this new president. And when he was elected in 2008, it was historic for all the reasons we all already know. And now here we are 2 years later, and in some ways we're right back to where we were in 1994 after the election of Bill Clinton, or in, you know, goodness, you're the historian, Corey, but maybe all the way back to 1982 after the election of Reagan, which is that people elect someone to be president. It's a departure. It's someone new. It's something different. And then they get in there and they start doing different things, and people say, no, never mind, we don't want to do that.
Liz, we're talking with Liz Chatterton. Liz, what about Eric's statement that he believed President Obama was politically tone deaf and was really not pleasing the left and Democrats as well?
Well, you know, I was hoping you wouldn't remember that one. I'm just kidding, Coy. No, it was a very good point. I think on occasion the president has been tone deaf, frankly. The mosque issue from a few days ago, while as an American and as a Democrat, I wholeheartedly, frankly, support what the president said about the freedom of religion, but do I wish he'd said it 80 days out from a midterm election? No, not really. I think there have been moments in which he has been more of a economist or a constitutional professor than he's been a political president. In some ways, that's what we elected him for. I think there have been moments where he has made this more difficult. And then I think there are moments when he's been quite brilliant. I actually thought he handled the BP issue fairly well, considering for the first 3 weeks he was trying very hard not to spend any more government money on it, and then it became clear that he wasn't going to have a choice. I think the bailouts were kind of a disaster, public relations-wise. They happened certainly before he even took office, and then they continued after he took office, and I think his new White House was not ready for that. I would agree. On occasion, there has definitely been some tone deafness.
We're talking with Liz Chatterton of the Chatterton Group. It's online at chattertongroup.com, a national political consultant. Liz, what are your thoughts on one observation I've had is under President Bush, we had folks on the left screaming about how this guy is, shredding the Constitution and spending us into oblivion and endangering the safety and the welfare of Americans. And we hear the exact same argument from people on the right now that we have President Obama in office. I mean, it's almost exactly the same argument, but just everything has flipped.
Yeah. Ah, politics. You know, the unfortunate side effect of democracy is politics, right? It is very true. And I think we're in such a different culture now with our politics. And I do, I've really seen this evolve in the last 5 to 6 years, especially in the last 3 or 4, with this 24-hour news cycle. And now that we have CNN in the middle with, Fox on one side and MSNBC on another side. We don't even watch nightly news anymore, for goodness sake. And you can get your news 24 hours a day, either on television, on the internet, on blogs. Everyone's a reporter. It's really kind of fascinating that in this new type of communication world, at the same time we're still saying the same messages, but because they're being dispersed through so many different channels, I don't think a lot of people have picked up on what you're saying, Coy, is that really at this point it's the same arguments that are being made on the opposing side. They're so dispersed. Does that make sense? We're not just hearing one voice. It's not just Walter Cronkite any longer giving us the news every night at 7. It's thousands of voices. And for that reason, I think it's being a little dispersed, and I don't think people are picking up on it. But at the end of the day, yeah, it's the same message. You know, the wheels go round and round.
Before we let you go, any advice? I don't know if you've been signed to the Perriello campaign or not. But
not at all, but I absolutely adore Congressman Perriello, if he's listening.
Any advice on the 5th District race, either for, well, tell us your perspective now, because you can really argue both sides so well. What's your advice for strategy for the Republican nominee in the 5th District, who's ahead in the polls, and Tom Perriello, the incumbent congressman?
No, oh, I hate to give the Republican nominee any advice, but, that's a tough district. I mean, everyone knows the 5th Congressional District is not a Democratic seat normally. It was a huge win for Congressman Perriello in 2008. I do want to say this. I think he's been a terrific congressman. And what I would tell him, I'll do him first. How's this? What I would tell the congressman if I was advising him is to knock as many doors and meet as many voters and do as many 101s as he can, because to meet him is to not only really like him, but is to really respect him. He is very smart. He is very passionate, and I think he's the kind of leader that the average American really wants advocating for them in Washington. He really cares. So that would be my advice to him. For the Republican, you know, I might go out and run on moderate issues in terms of fiscal responsibility and accountability and reining in spending, and Washington clearly doesn't get it. And I think that, unfortunately, this year is a very good message for him.
Liz Chatterton, she is the president of the Chatterton Group online, chattertongroup.com. You can see her frequently on CNN, CNBC, and Fox News. Liz, always great to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure, Coy. Thank you.
This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.